Hi, I'm Otto. Welcome to Erin Sarah's podcast.
People loved, by the way, can you believe the messages I get? I feel stupid posting all of them, but like I need to.
I used to think it was embarrassing that you did that, but I actually think
How
it's cool.
You ever think it's embarrassing? It's feedback.
Sometimes it's just like a lot of compliments, you know?
Well, it's not like personal compliments like, oh my God, you have such great legs. It's like deeper than that.
Mm-hmm. No, but I said, but now I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I read it and I get inspired. I'm like, oh my God, what an amazing podcast. And I'm like, oh, that was
Did
me.
You listen to the manifestation episode?
No. And I get
you
really...
You are so... How have you not listened to that? It's your podcast. It's
out of spite, I think.
You chose not to do that episode, you fucking psycho.
I know.
You chose. That was your choice. Mm-hmm. I had to act quick and figure it out to make up for your unprofessionalism. And now
let's not discuss unprofessionalism.
And now you just no. don't
let's
even
explain
listen.
To everyone that well, we won't explain what the fight was about because.
By the way, can I tell you something? I swear to God, I don't even remember. I have no. I do
That's
not.
That's actually scary,
Erin.
That's actually scary.
Put a gun to my head. I don't remember what our
Sarah,
fight was about.
That is so alarming because it was not a small fight.
I don't remember.
Sarah and I got into a very big fight.
Wait, what was the fight?
It was a partner-ending fight about, how
God.
Can you forget
By the way,
about
partner
that?
Partner-ending where you're, okay.
Okay, the so fact, we got into a crazy huge fight.
We might need to edit this. I'm not saying edit any of it. I'm just saying move it because this might be a lot for people to start off
We on. Don't have to even get into it. All I was going to say is that we got into a crazy fight and I said to Sarah, I cannot work under these conditions. And
these conditions.
And so I said, good luck tomorrow, but I'm not going to do an episode with you.
Right.
I said, I can't continue working together until we clear this up.
Right, right.
And so
and we had
you're on your own.
A very important guest booked. She was booked. She cleared her schedule to be available. This is a very busy woman.
But it
so
was,
I
it was
had
a connection
choice.
Of yours. And so that's why I said maybe you should just do this on your
no,
own.
No. It was not. I've never met Jen Mazur in my life.
No, I thought it came through you.
No, it did not.
Are you sure?
No. Allison? This was a woman who is a very in-demand woman. And there was no world that I was going to just not show up. That would be unprofessional. So you chose not to show up. So I said, okay, the show must go on.
Well, I also said we could reschedule her. I just said I cannot continue, like I said, under these conditions.
Okay. Well, the point is, it was a fantastic episode.
Well, I refuse to listen
and
to it.
People love it and are still writing me today about it.
I literally saw one of your messages and I was like, oh, that's really annoying. Should I like listen to this episode?
Okay. Well, first of all, it wasn't amazing. First of all, Jen is amazing. And Jen, I really actually believe should have her own podcast.
You mean Jen Meyer or Jen Mazur?
Jen Meyer.
Oh, Jen Meyer. Got
My co-host.
Yes.
So it wasn't necessarily amazing. It would have been also amazing if you were there. Maybe not as amazing, but
that's nice.
It was more amazing just because the subject matter is really incredible. And Jen Mazur is really incredible. And manifesting is really real. And she really makes it. You haven't listened to it, but I shared about how...
Are you wearing makeup right now, by the way?
No. Oh, actually, yes, I am. I have bronzer on.
I was going to say, you look very gold.
Yeah, I have bronzer on because I'm using
nice.
A...
You love a bronzer. It's so interesting the things that someone will go to. Like if I had 2 seconds in front of the mirror to put any kind of makeup on, it would not be bronzer.
What would it be?
But you would do bronzer.
I have nothing on but that.
I would do...
Mascara?
Probably mascara.
Oh yeah, I would never.
I would open my eyes up.
I don't even put mascara on to go to a nice dinner.
I know, but you always say you have like beady little eyes.
I know.
So don't you want to open them up?
I do want to open them up, but it always gets in my eyes and then it runs and it's just...
Why is your mascara getting in your eyes?
Like it gets clumpy. I don't know. I don't have a great relationship to mascara.
That's old mascara. Mascara doesn't last that long. You should get rid of any clumpy mascara.
So anyways, I shared on the manifestation episode about that letter I wrote myself before we started Barely Famous. And
you were in like a zen place.
I was in a really zen place.
Trying to meditate and all that.
Well, I was like desperate. I was like, I need something. I need some sort of higher power in my life to take this on, right? To find my inner comedian. Anyways, I shared about the letter. And then a lot of people have written saying, that it inspired them to write a letter to themselves about the life they wanted, but writing it from the perspective of, I already have it. Uh-huh. And it's really powerful. You should check out the episode.
Well, when I saw one of your messages, I was like, wait, I feel like I need this episode, but I have to boycott it. So I've been boycotting the episode.
Hold on.
Rewind. I honestly wanted it to fail, the episode, because I wanted it to send a message to you.
Oh, Allison, what are the numbers for the manifestation episode? Let's just hear them live. What are they? And how do they compare to others?
She's really good.
Oh, shut up, Allison.
Listen,
you know, I thought if I left, things would fall apart.
Here's the deal. They did not fall apart. But you are an integral part of this podcast.
That's good to know.
So the truth is, if you were like, that's it, I'm done. I'm not doing world's first podcast anymore. Like, we'd probably shut it down. Like, I don't think I could just go replace you.
You wouldn't go do it with Jen Meyer.
Oh, that's actually not a bad idea.
Okay.
Who would you do it with?
Good to know.
Who would you do it with? Jamie? Charles?
Maybe Simon.
Okay. I don't like that.
You like that?
That would be a hit.
That's a good podcast.
That would be a hit.
That's a good podcast.
I do think people...
Because, you know, you want the male and female perspective.
Yeah. I do actually think that Simon should come on more from the male perspective, because it really is a perspective that us women need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And don't fully...
One of your girlfriends recently was having a dating sort of panic and
called
us. Yeah. And Simon talked her off a ledge.
He really can see both sides, as duty as people think. That's not a great word, duty.
Bro-y
as, you know, people might think he is. He's really actually has a lot of, not feminine instincts, but he's in touch with like a woman's brain.
Emotional intelligence. I don't think he's going to appreciate you saying he has feminine energy or whatever you just said.
No, but that's a good thing. A masculine man to also be able to be in touch with. No? Is that not good?
I think maybe just you don't use the word femininity, but I think what you mean is just emotional intelligence.
This conversation might upset certain people.
Oh, okay. Well.
You know, it's such a fine line.
See you in my DMs. But people did really like, not that this should be like a recap of last week, but you making fun of my earlobes. We called them rib eyes. Oh, something. So Montana said something.
No, I just had a handful of really nice people saying they went deep on my Instagram and on Google Images and that my earlobes are nice.
I never insulted your earlobes. Well, I did with the holes in your earlobes.
Droopy holes. You never insulted my earlobes. I think the exact quote was, it's so weird how vain Sarah is, but she just feels totally okay walking around with these fucked up earlobes. So,
I don't know if that's a direct quote, but... It's due to damage from a piercer. It's not like, you know, I'm insulting.
No, but I also do have these lines here, which you have accused me of facelift lines, but they're just really like lines.
They're also facelift lines.
Yeah.
I mean, they are where a facelift line would be.
No, that's not true, because I think facelifts nowadays,
behind the ears,
they're invisible. Nowadays, facelift scars.
But you probably got it a long time ago.
Yeah, I got
before
it
before the new technology came out.
Listen, I think if you do a face, do it when you're 27. Get in front of it.
Right. So Montana said to me last week, we should do merch for the podcast. You should make a sweatshirt that says, you're out of 12.
Oh my God.
I feel like that's funny. People tell us if you'd buy it.
I don't
know. If we had inside jokes about from our podcast, I think that's a good idea.
What are our other inside jokes besides you're out of 12?
Well, people should
clang.
Tell us.
Clang. Clang.
Yeah, we can't really take that one.
K-L-A-N-G?
We can't steal it though.
I don't know. We're a little overexposed. We really need merch on top of all the other stuff we're doing. I don't know that we need merch.
That's a good point, I guess.
I think people...
I was just trying to think about...
we do enough swipe ups for enough things.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know that I'm excited to do a swipe up for a You're Out of 12 merch sweatshirt.
Okay, all right. That's fair.
Yeah. But you should do it and see how it does.
Okay, great. I'm not going to split the profits with you, though.
Well, I...
So you want the profits but not the swipe ups.
Yeah, that gets a little dicey.
I will say that obviously I opened up deep and wide about my mental health journey in our last episode. A lot of positive messages and people very appreciative
of that. I was wondering how that vulnerability was received from our audience.
It was very well received. And a lot of people were asking me what I was starting on if I start. So I did start on Zoloft about a week and a half ago. And I think in my mind I feel it, but I think that's placebo.
Just like a
effect.
Low dose?
A very low dose, yeah. I did feel nauseous for the first couple of days, but that's sort of part of the side effects. So I'm excited about
it. You feel maybe like a little less aggressive today? Does that work? Does it do something for aggression?
Yeah, probably.
Right. It's just evening.
Evens you out.
It just evens you out.
Mm-hmm. Even when you just said that, usually I would want to murder you.
Yeah, but you were just like, and I was like, no, maybe it is helping. Yeah, who cares?
That's what she thinks. That's what she thinks.
Right, let it roll.
Letting it roll.
What is it doing to the sex drive?
I was nervous about that. And I asked her ahead of time, please don't put me on something that makes me lose my sex drive because then
I'll get divorced.
Well, then you'll need to put Simon on antidepressants.
Right, to level it out. Because can you imagine you with the, oh God.
That wouldn't work.
He'd probably cheat.
He'd have to.
He'd have to.
He'd have to.
It would be his right.
I would allow it.
Yeah.
I would understand. But I, so far, so good.
Okay. I asked that question and then I regretted asking the question.
Oh, we have been just fine, Sarah.
I was listening to the ad we did for the sex oil.
Uh-huh. When mom was in the background.
It's just, listen, this goes deeper. This is all connected to my intimacy issues. Mm-hmm. I have extreme intimacy. I have extreme intimacy
issues,
which, you know, I've only been in therapy for a year and a half.
Right. Have you been doing it that long? That's great.
Isn't that weird? Remember you told me about it in Lake Tahoe?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Uh-huh. You needed it so much back then.
Yeah. I've been doing it for a year and a half.
You love it.
I have it today. Listen, I love it, but also working on yourself is fucking exhausting.
Yeah.
Like I just got back from spring break last night and I'm like, do I feel like working on myself today? Do I feel like pulling out that journal? And no, I do not.
Right.
I feel like going home.
But you could also have therapy sessions where you don't talk about anything.
I feel like there's a pressure though to show up. You know, like whenever I have a lull with Josh, I'm always like, oh, I need to like say something deep right now to show him mm-hmm. that I'm deep. That I've shown up. Mm.
But he doesn't care. He's getting paid either way.
True.
Oh, guess what? We have a session coming up with Dan Tocchini.
Yeah.
Excited about that. Oh my God.
When's that?
I don't know. It's like next week, I think.
I'll need to be really rested for that. Cause like today I'd have to cancel. I'd have to move away. You know what? Like I was just on spring break for a week and.
You hit the slopes.
Yep. And I.
Saw you had a bit of a freak out on the mountain.
Oh, I lost it. Oh no, I really lost it.
But I need to understand why.
No, I lost it.
I need to understand why that stood out, though, because you lose it all the time with your family.
Well, I don't show it on Instagram, though.
No, but I'm saying, like, why was your family icing you? Because that behavior is, like, normal for you.
No. I screamed, like, crazy obscenities to, like, strangers were just standing there. And nothing stopped me.
Oh, my God.
It was, like, Vivi was there. She's 11. And I was, like, you motherfuckers, like screaming
at
like
her.
She was there. Yeah.
was she one of the motherfuckers in your,
listen,
your
she wasn't in my direct eye line, mm-hmm. but she was close to it.
Wow.
I really was like something just triggered me. Mm-hmm. And I was
felt
like
left behind.
Maybe it took it, it had to have, you know, it's taken me back to, I'm sure I was abandoned on a ski slope as a child. Like, I'm sure I was abandoned, well, you know.
Or just in general
just abandoned. It was like I was taken down this route against my will. I didn't want to do it, but I also didn't want to, like, you know, go my own way. Like, I wanted to be with the family and be with the friends, but I knew I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had just said, guys, I'm not going to do this. But instead, I was like, pure pressure. They mm-hmm, pressured me.
Mm-hmm. Your 11-year-old, go on.
Yeah, my 11-year-old, you know, everybody, they pressured me. And it was like...
hard.
It was like a black diamond. It was an actual
black diamond?
No. So that day was a black because it was not groomed.
Got it.
That means is it's not flat. It's like mogul-y and mm-hmm. it's thick and it's powdery and like... Listen, this sounds very elitist, like an ungroomed mountain, you know? But if you have ever skied... It's really freaking scary finding yourself at the top of this mountain and there is no way, there's no way home but down.
Yeah.
Once you've started, it's like, mm-hmm. there's no way, the only way out is through.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like crying, I fell.
You actually cried?
No, I fell.
Okay.
Like I fell.
Going fast?
Going not like that fast, but like it was a fall where like it's intense.
It freaked you out. Yeah.
And then I had to like get back up and continue doing it. And instead of just being that person that was like, I'm going to figure this out. This is crazy. And I might fall again. And like just laughing my way through it, I just couldn't connect to that.
And you were mad at them because they kept going. Did they see you fall?
They were already so far down.
So like, they didn't
wait for me. I don't know. It was like very upsetting. Mm-hmm. It was like my family abandoned me. My family forced me to do something mm-hmm. I didn't want to do. But then I was mad at myself because I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't like not being able to do something.
Mm-hmm. You were ashamed.
I felt shame. I tapped into all these feelings that are valid. Mm-hmm. But if I was a more healed person, I wouldn't have been as triggered.
Right.
So I got to the bottom and I think there was like a part of me, I was like feeling relief, shame, anger, because they were all at the bottom watching me. So there's 10 people at the bottom just going, oh God, she's so bad. Oh God, what? Like, know.
Mm-hmm. That only ramped things up for you.
That only ramped things up for me. So when I got to the bottom.
10 people you had with you?
We ended up like being with like a group.
Okay.
And they waited for me at the bottom.
And you
didn't wait for me in the middle to help me, but they waited for me at the bottom
You don't wait in the middle because they're skiing.
Yeah, that's true. But so they just like watched me struggle, you know? And I verbally assaulted everybody. like really verbally assaulted them.
Right. To take the focus off of you skiing badly, you want to put the focus on them.
Yeah, and there's probably like a feeling of relief that I got to the bottom because I genuinely was like, oh, I might just have to like take my skis mm-hmm. off and like roll down the mountain.
That's
like
what you did when you snowboarded. Remember when you tried snowboarding, you took your snowboard off and you're like, fuck this. And you just walked down.
Well, because that was crazy. I'd never been on a snowboard in my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I think I'll try snowboarding today and went to the top of Aspen Mountain.
No,
like
that's dumb.
Just the stupidest thing you could. Of course you're taking your snowboard off. Anyways, this story's getting long. It's boring.
I'm already
bored by it.
But I thought your story was funny. So Tommy started filming you when you were freaking out.
Of course he did, because that's what he does.
Well, you do it to him too.
No, I don't. He films like every, like he loves. And when I say like, why are you doing this? He's like, evidence.
I was just going to say he's gaining a case.
No, he's making a file so that he can like show the judge one day. Like she's an unfit mother.
Yes.
She's unwell. I'm telling you, he's like just building
He's with the kids in Florida right now, right?
Yeah. And that's he's supposed to come home Sunday. And then he said this morning, he's like, we might stay longer. I was like, wait, this is like a scene out of like Not Without My Daughter.
Yeah.
I'm like Sally Field. Like,
and when you try to get them back, that skiing video is not going to age well.
No, it's really not. And at least he didn't post it though. That was nice of him.
You posted it, right?
With music over it.
Yeah, you couldn't.
No.
You don't want to do that.
I wasn't
going to
post
that audio is too damaging.
The unedited. Are you kidding? Oh my God.
And it was Tommy's birthday. Did you guys have fun?
It was a really fun trip. We always have fun when we go on ski trips.
Love that.
We always have fun. You know what I don't understand about skiing? Like the most, I'm an athletic person. Okay. I'm athletic. I've done sports my entire life. I work out. Like I am just not improving. I'm just not getting better.
You've
and then
plateaued.
I see what?
You've plateaued.
No, I'm just not good and I'm not getting better. And I see these very unathletic looking people who are just cruising down the mountain looking like freaking Bodie Miller. Mm. I don't get it.
I have no interest in skiing or snowboarding now as an adult. Like I really loved it as
a
teenager.
You're a very good snowboarder, which surprises people. I told a few people that on the trip and they were all very shocked by this.
Oh, why?
I don't know.
Because I don't seem very athletic.
No, I just, you don't give off snowboard energy.
Well, I loved snowboarding. I only got good at it because I went to boarding school in Switzerland and you snowboard or ski every day basically in the winter after lunch. You like don't have class.
Yeah.
So I got good at it. But as an adult, I'm like, I don't want to fall. I don't want to hurt myself. I don't want to go too fast. I don't want to be cold. I don't want to have to pee. I want to be comfortable. It's just too much for
me. No, it's a whole thing. I love like looking at videos of all these like influencers who like post their skiing and all the outfits. And I'm like, how is this possible? How does your hair look like that?
Yeah.
How do you not have marks? Like I had permanent like 8 lines on my forehead
from like the
entire week from the helmet. And the thing, like mm-hmm. just a permanent indented 4 lines on my forehead. They didn't go away. I would go to dinner at night with the 4 implanted lines on my forehead. I just don't understand. I'm like, how are these people, not only that, but like, are you bringing a photographer with you? Mm-hmm. Like, it's
they
not.
They might be. They might be.
Okay, here's the thing.
Oh. Is this real?
I have two children, and the whole vitamin thing is a bit tough because in order to get your kids to take the vitamins, they need to, like, not spit them out, right? So they need to taste good. But in order for them to taste good, they have to be filled with, like, sugars to disguise it. So it really
and
sort of—
And unhealthy chemicals.
Yeah,
and it's, like gummy junk that they should
Yeah, be and by the way, bad for your teeth. It's, like, a whole thing that is, that's, like, a counterintuitive situation. So people are talking about Hiya. While most children's vitamins are filled with 5 grams of sugar, which contributes to all the things that we just talked about, Hiya is made with zero sugar and zero gummy junk, yet it tastes like the other stuff. So that's really the goal. Mm-hmm. And the theme on this podcast, we're trying to give you alternatives, healthy alternatives.
So it's perfect for picky eaters, like picky kids that will not take vitamins, and these actually taste good and are actually just good for you because they are made from a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies. You know, organic is very important to us. And then it's also supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including your favorite, vitamin D,
yeah,
B12, C, zinc, folate, and many others to help support energy.
Yeah, look, our kids are just as depleted.
Brain function, mood. I mean, these are very important things. It's non-GMO.
Kids, yeah.
Non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free.
Here's something that they did, which I think is really cool and creative. They include the kids in the process. So they send you the bottles of the vitamins with stickers and decorative things so that the kids feel part of it.
They decorate the bottle.
They get to decorate their own bottle of vitamins. It's personalized, so they feel like, oh, this is my...
They get excited to take it.
They get excited because it's theirs. And they've mm-hmm. sort
Josie's
of like...
Josie's very into stickers.
Very into it. It's a very creative, modern business. I love mm-hmm. it. It's very, very cool. And we have a really huge discount.
Very big discount.
One of our biggest.
So we've worked out a very good deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. You're going to get 50% off your first order. To claim this deal,
you must try. Just try it.
To claim this deal, you must go to HiyaHealth.com/Foster. This deal is not for everyone on their regular website. It is only for you guys. Go to HiyaHealth.com/Foster and get your kid the full body nourishment that they need to grow into healthy adults. I mean, it's easy to talk about Sia because it's on my skin currently right now. It's always on my face.
It's always on your hands too.
It's always, oh my God, it's always on my hands.
Always on your hands.
I've talked about this so much, like my head spins.
We can't speak highly enough about Osea. It is in every bathroom in my house. Mm-hmm. My 11-year-old uses it. It's really the only skincare at this point that I let her use. We've talked about it. She wears makeup. So when you wear makeup, you got to have skincare. And this is the skincare she's using.
Osea is clean. It is effective skincare. They've been doing this for 25 years. They have the greatest cleansers, serums, and moisturizers. I'm obsessed with their moisturizers. Also, they have a famous body oil. The body oil is fantastic. It is their best-selling product. And they have clinically proven instant hydration increasing products. Okay. They are anti-aging. It minimizes the appearance of all types of lines, wrinkles, crow's feet, laugh lines, and frown lines, while it's also good for you and healthy and non-toxic. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to find that. It is, all their ingredients are so like rich. Their moisturizers, I just want to bathe in them.
Yeah. By the way, do you use their hyaluronic?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's literally.
Oh, no, I do. I do. Yeah. The green one.
The serum.
Yes. The serum. I always thought of it as a
you
serum.
You put it
the C serum,
on
yes.
your skin and just instantly your skin looks smooth.
Yes.
It's like instant.
Everything that they have is amazing. We cannot speak more highly of it. So find your new skincare favorites at OseaMalibu.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 10% off your first order with the promo code FIRST at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order, and orders over $50 get free shipping. You're going to want everything. Go to OseaMalibu.com. That is OSEA. Malibu.com and use the code
I would
first.
Say just honestly get everything. This like you
Sarah,
literally
when I do the call to action, it's over after that.
Okay, what else? Okay, so you while I was gone enjoying
I had a very chill week.
Enjoying myself and my life.
Yeah, I had a very, very relaxing week. I started painting. And
is this part of your Zoloft situation?
Just like no. No.
I did see that. I'm like, oh, she's taken up painting.
Yeah. Sophia was like, oh, I've been doing this paint by numbers and it's really fun. And I was like, great, that sounds fun. I want like an artistic, creative activity that kind of relaxes you. So she came over and we painted together. It was so enjoyable. And then things were very quiet this week, the last week, because you were out of town, so we didn't have a lot of meetings. So I had all these afternoons that were very free. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to paint more. And I started painting more.
And where do you purchase paint? You like go to the paint shop?
No, I went on Amazon and I did paint by numbers for adults.
Is Amazon sponsoring this podcast?
No, they're not. But
they
I don't
should.
Know how else to explain what I did.
Okay.
And it's not, it's, I wouldn't say that it, paint by numbers is hard, but it's still very time consuming and you.
Sorry,
and,
is paint by numbers an app?
No. Let me show you.
Well, I don't care enough to like for you to go get it. Okay. You're going to go get it. Okay. Did you paint that? Mm-hmm. No way.
This is the second one I've been working on. So
wait,
look.
You painted this?
Yeah. But look, it's paint by numbers.
Oh, okay. So it tells you.
So each paint color has a number on it. So you find like 23 and you color that and you find all the 23s, but they're like tiny, tiny, this and this.
Oh, okay. Very, so this is like Cliff Notes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, well, I said that. I was very honest about it.
Okay. Well, I didn't see that.
But it's still time consuming. It takes a long time. You have to get it right. And like you, and it's slowly the picture starts
really
to
good.
Form and it's cool.
Wait, this is very cool. So this is, wow.
Yeah. See?
Okay.
It's like a level of impressive.
This is very mom. Remember when mom went through her phase?
Yes.
Where she was, what are those coloring books called?
Coloring books.
She had like, you know, those geographic.
They're just coloring books. They're like adult coloring books for adults.
No, they're coloring books for adults, but they're called, they're a certain type of.
They're coloring books you do when you're on mushrooms.
Yeah, true.
But here's the thing. I think that I, like, what was it? The other night, was it last night or the other night? Simon was like, he was leaving. He had a dinner or something. And he was like, while I'm gone, don't like sit looking at Instagram. Like do something that's like going to make you feel good, you know, like read something or whatever. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I'm going to paint. And I ended up painting for like 2 hours and it was really relaxing and good for my brain. I put music on. It was very chill.
You know, it is interesting. I was thinking about it the other day. I don't know why I was thinking about this, but you are like an avid reader. You're always the person that's like, oh, you read Education before anybody else did. You read, I don't know, you're just always sort of ahead of the curve with fiction and nonfiction books. Hmm. You have not really been reading lately. I mean, I'm sure it's because you're with Simon, you watch your like weird shows and you're
They're
so busy.
Weird, but yeah.
Well, I mean like The Bachelor and Vanderpump, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. It's not like you're, you know, watching, you know, the, you know, History Channel together.
That's true. We do have a lot of TV shows we watch, I guess.
But
yeah.
You're not reading a lot.
I guess that is part of, I mean, I do need to fix that because maybe it's because I used to just have a lot more time alone. So you just read more when you're alone. But
probably.
But like,
love reading.
Yeah. I also think I need glasses because I've been reading lately and having to close one eye.
Okay, let's not age ourselves for
I'm
our
just
people.
Saying,
I mean, let's cut that out.
I
haven't read because I think I need some glasses. I can't see. I mean, we have 20-year-olds listening to this.
Yeah, but 20-year-olds wear glasses too.
Okay, but okay. Just like, okay. She can't pick up another book till she gets her bifocals.
I just probably am like nearsighted or something.
No, I'm
it's
just
nothing crazy.
Anyway, okay, so you don't think it's age related?
I don't know. It could be, but
oh my
but I did.
God.
But I did start reading a book recently, last week, called Humankind.
Okay,
yeah.
Who then referred this to you?
This guy that I met at Media Slopes.
Who? Give us names.
No. I don't.
okay.
But it's an interesting book because
that was like you were like that was funny delivery.
But it's an interesting book because we are living in a time right now that is very scary and depressing and traumatizing.
Yeah.
And this book gives a positive spin on what's happening in the world, not exactly what's happening in the world today, but in general, it gives you a positive spin on human beings and that we are innately good. We are not innately bad. And it's an interesting take. It's kind of, it's something to read if you want to feel better about humanity.
Okay. That's a great tip.
Yeah. Okay. Humankind.
Okie dokie.
So I'm starting to read a little bit.
Do you think that we completed our conversation about your journey?
Medication?
Uh-huh. Is there anything else you want to say about it?
I'm trying to think of what the questions are that people asked. I mean, a lot of people gave me very positive messages about how they have also been diagnosed with OCD. Some people were saying, as I was describing my anxiety, they were like, oh my God, this is OCD. So
I was so shocked by it.
Relating to it. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people saying how they went on medication and how it made their life so much better. A lot of positives. Yeah. A lot of positives. And
yeah, I have people writing me too, asking me to thank you for being so honest about it. I think people have really misplaced feelings right now, and no one knows where to put them because we are all feeling so many things, and you automatically just go to like, I'm depressed.
Yeah.
And I think it was eye opening for people that there are other layers to
different kinds of anxiety.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Honestly, it felt really good saying it out loud.
Yeah.
And it felt good sharing it, and it felt good getting everyone's messages. And everybody who's listening, you should know that I saw every single one of your messages, and I appreciated all of them. And I obviously can't respond to everyone. And also, sometimes I don't want to necessarily get into like an intimate conversation with a stranger about something so personal. Yeah. Even if I share it, and even if I really see your message and love your message, sharing your experience, it's like, I don't want to get into 500 conversations about like the intricacies of my mental health with all these people. But I do really appreciate seeing your messages. I read them all. I see them all.
Oh, also, you know, coming up, just so you know, we are doing an episode with the author of the book, Overthinking About You, Navigating Romantic Relationships When You Have Anxiety, OCD, and or depression.
Didn't know about this.
So that is coming up soon. So we'll be able to dive heavily into this topic.
I love that. Yeah. That's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, we have some really cool experts coming up. We also are going to be talking about, a lot of people have asked us to cover the art of breaking up.
Yeah.
And the intricacies of a breakup, whether it's a breakup with a husband, a wife, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, a best friend, just the art of breaking up and diving into the like multifaceted that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that.
Very excited.
We're also going to be doing an episode on divorce because a lot of people got divorced in COVID and a lot of people are not understanding how to navigate it. So we have some very exciting episodes coming up, but people do like the ones with you and I, which is so interesting to me, even though I did listen to last week's on the plane again.
It's good, right?
It's good. But when we're doing it, I'm like, this is bad.
I think today's bad. I know. I feel like it's boring. I like it when we laugh.
You know what? We have very low energy. You're not that funny today.
Oh.
You're being very, a little serious.
Oh. And you've accused me of this before.
I wonder if it's the medication. Are you just like too chill? I mean, fuck. Maybe you should like
hit me
taper off.
I'm already tapering off. But I'm like, only 2 weeks in.
Maybe taper before we have solo episodes.
I don't think it works that way.
This is like great energy
for your
Katie Couric, you know, political episode. But like, you know, I need you a little funnier right now.
Oh, I think I'm just tired.
Yeah. Well, me too, honey. I just was on a trip with two kids, ski trip.
Did you have your nanny with you? you act like you just like were alone with your kids for 5 days.
Yes, I did have my nanny with me, she is getting her MBA. So she had a lot of studying to do. So she was studying a lot.
So she didn't watch the kids? She was just working the whole time?
No, of course she watched the kids, but like it wasn't really like that. You know, they're getting older, so.
You think you're tired? I have been on the slopes with my nanny and my kids in Aspen.
No, okay. but I will, but that really makes me, okay, I follow
with
these.
A crease on my forehead.
I follow these different, like influencers and TikTokers and whatever. And I cannot stand these women that go on these apps where they're like, oh my God, I got the dishes and I got this and I got the kids are doing it. It's like you have four nannies. Like I don't try to pretend that I don't have a nanny, but I also am doing dishes. And I also do.
You do a lot of dishes.
I do a lot of dishes. I do the dishes every single night. I have no one at 7 p.m. doing dishes. I'm the one that does dishes. I'm not asking for a medal, but I'm just saying when I am on Instagram going like, oh my God, I'm tired. It's because I don't have help in the mornings. I make all the school lunches. I do all the breakfast. And it really, I think, is so gross when I see these women who I know have a staff playing this like, I'm so relatable. I'm so like, it really is so gross. Mm-hmm. I wish people would stop doing that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I can't. It's really brutal. Okay.
I agree. Okay, well.
And also so embarrassing for
for them.
I agree. Okay, so how can we ramp
how do we up? Even begin to dive into these questions? Also, I
how
feel
do we
bad
ramp
because
up this episode being more fun.
Well, Allison is a editing whiz.
She's gonna make us more fun.
Well, she's just gonna
maybe add some music to it or something.
No, I don't think you can add music to a podcast.
Oh, can I was you? I think how to like liven
Allison,
it up.
What are you gonna do to this episode?
Okay, can I say another thing? You're not gonna like this because it's gonna make me sound like I'm old or whatever.
Okay,
but I think women will agree with this or like will relate.
She's like, I have hot flashes, crazy.
No, my hair has changed texture and it's freaking me out.
It is a little thin.
It's very thin right now. That's not what I was going to say though. Oh. Thanks. The texture has changed. Like when I let my hair dry naturally, it is literally like tiny kinky curls. Like the whole thing is like really, really tight, tiny little wavy curls.
What was it before? This
just like loose waves. And now the texture is like, it's really freaking me out. I feel like I've gone through a new phase where I have new hair and I hate it. I hate it.
Is this a blowout or this is natural, what I'm looking at?
No, I blew this out because I have to give myself a blowout with my dry bar round brush thing that blows your hair out at the same time because I can't leave it alone because it's so kinky. Like tiny, tiny little.
I'm not seeing that.
Because I just blew it out, Sarah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hair changes. I don't know.
Well, I've gone through a new hair phase and I don't like
it. Colored it.
I need to go back, but that's not the
point.
Don't
we change every 7 years?
Yeah, I think I hit a 7 year just now.
Oh.
And I'm not happy with the next 7 years.
Have you Have you done blood tests recently?
No. For what?
I don't know. Just sometimes you can like be deficient in multiple areas and then you just take a supplement and it really helps.
I guess, but I take 2 prenatals a day. I take 2 omega oils a day. I take vitamin D twice a week. I take methyl assist for my whatever, like what's it called? Methyl folate. Mm-hmm. I take probiotic twice
a
day.
What about that carousel shit?
Take vitamin C. So many things. No. Oh yeah, I do want to say that because I had a lot of messages about the hair thing. Is that the brand I was saying of the stuff to buy is Carousel, KeraCell.
Oh, not with a C.
Oh, you know what's something interesting is that my Parsley health coach told me to get one of these.
Are you taking your clothes off? What's happening? Oh, what is that?
It is a glucose
monitor
that you stick on the back of your arm. It stays there for 2 weeks.
It looks like one of those things that you, like for you guys who can't see this, you know, on your cell phone, how you have like a thing. What's that thing called in the back? A fob. What's it called?
Yeah. Wait.
That's what it looks like.
Oh, one of these push things.
A push
like
thing.
A push that's pop.
It looks like she has a push that
on pop her, socket. Pop
a
socket.
Pop socket on her arm.
Okay. So look, I go to the app.
Uh-huh.
Check glucose.
Sorry. What is glucose important for?
I scanned it just now. Okay. And I'm at 101. I'm in the green.
So what does that mean?
I don't really know. But
what is your glucose level? I mean, I know for diabetes, that's very important. But why is that important for you?
This thing is made for people with diabetes.
Yeah.
But she said that you're measuring your glucose over a month or 2 week period of time and having them look at where your glucose drops and rises and what the flows and the habits are is a huge
indicator
of your health and
your overall health.
I think of your overall health and how you react to food and like, I guess your glucose levels and your blood sugar is like a very important part of your well-being.
Have you asked the health coach about the hair?
I haven't asked about the hair just because I've experienced this in the past and I feel like it's always connected to stress and...
Of course, everything's connected to stress.
Yeah.
I mean, literally everything is connected to stress. You should listen to the manifestation episode and tap into, you know, the... Well, we didn't really talk about meditating, but listen, people who meditate, they say
I'm a painter
is life-changing. Oh, you're a painter, which is a form of meditation.
It is. I listened to like focus music yesterday and painted.
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
I went on Spotify and I put on playlist.
Who
focus.
Are you? I'm painting with my focus music while I wear my glucose patch.
I know, I'm like a weirdo.
With your bifocals.
Yeah, I'm like mom.
I go away for 1 week and you are a new person.
I know, is it better?
I don't know. Is this like I leave for a week and all of a sudden you've never been more like zen?
I know. Oh yeah, I think maybe because you were gone.
I have to pay.
Well, Jordan FaceTimed me and was like, what's that weird music on in the background? I'm a new person. Oh, maybe it's because you left.
I think at this point on the podcast, all we need to say is AG1.
Athletic Greens. We are
and then give our call to action because we have a very loyal listening now.
They have to have heard about it by now.
They have.
We are the founders.
We have sent.
It's another company that we own.
Okay, stop saying the founder thing. You sound like a crazy person. Oh, we are okay. Not the founders of Athletic Greens. It's like a $1 billion company at this point. So trust me.
Yeah, because of us, basically.
Mm-hmm. I do think we have sent them a lot of customers.
I think so too.
But they were pretty successful before we had this podcast.
Okay.
Let's
just say it's a joint effort.
Okay. The point is AG1 has made it easy for you to get all the things you need in the morning. It is one scoop in your water. You do not need to take 50 supplements, all those gel caps, all those big ass vitamins that make you choke. It is one scoop in your orange juice, in your water, whatever it is to start your morning, and you are done. In that one scoop, you have multivitamin, multimineral, your probiotics, your green superfood blend, and more, all in one serving.
So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit athleticgreens.com/foster today. Again, just go to athleticgreens.com/foster to take control of your health and give AG1 a try.
The founders of Bull and Branch coming at you live. Just kidding. We are not the founders of Bull and Branch.
But I think if we say it enough times, then we become the founders. Like in a court of law.
Right. I was going to say.
Like maybe we generate so many sales that we become the founders. Like they give us the business.
That's not how. Someone who is quite business savvy like yourself.
That's not how business works?
That's not how it works.
Until now.
Did you put filler under your eyes?
No, I didn't.
It's looking very plump.
Oh, I think maybe that's just Botox on the side that pulls it up.
It looks very full.
Oh, thank you.
It has nothing to do with bed sheets.
No, it does not.
Are your eyes full because you lay on organic sheets?
Yes. Thank you for bringing it back around.
Is that why?
My eyes are full because I lay on organic sheets from Bowl and Branch. They use 100% organic cotton threads. They're superior softness and better for your sleep. They're
crazy.
Their sheets are buttery, breathable, and impossibly soft.
Okay, you don't need to like be so ad heavy. We fucking use the product.
Oh,
so
got it.
This is not, we're not like a podcast that has to actually read the ads because a lot of podcasts are talking about shit they do not use. But mm-hmm. we are not running an establishment like that. We vet every product. We say no to a lot of brands because we don't use them. Bull and Branch is on every bed in my house, on every bed in your house.
Correct.
And on every bed in our mother's house.
Correct, correct, correct. You will immediately feel the difference of their iconic signature sheets.
Again, you're sounding like Vanna White. You don't need to sound like Vanna White, girl. You use the product.
Sorry, I was just...
You know what? Speak from the heart. Turn the page over and speak from the heart.
I don't have a heart.
Okay. Just try.
I love them. I really love them. Okay. They really are the best sheets. They're on my bed.
Okay.
I've said it a million times.
Right. How do you feel about organic and opposed to like chemicals touching your body?
I refuse to have chemicals touch my body. Okay. And I refuse to sleep breathing in chemicals over and over and over again. I want organic through and through.
Which is?
Bull and Branch.
That's the thing.
Okay, so now can I do the call to action?
Sure.
Okay. Get 20% off site-wide April 11th to the 17th only at bullandbranch.com. That is B-O-L-L and branch.com for 20% off site-wide April 11th to April 17th. Oh, shout out to Jenny Alden.
Oh,
Jenny
yeah.
Alden is a good friend of ours. And she listens to mm-hmm. every episode. And she always sends us the nicest messages. And, you know, she noticed that she hadn't gotten a shout out yet.
Okay. So, well, it's not like we've shouted out that many people. We've shouted out Julie Orne, Greg Berlanti, Sophia Rossi.
Catherine Power.
And now Jenny Alden.
Have we shouted Charles.
Out? Charles. True.
But listen, we shout out the people who reach out to us and tell us how much they listen. Oh, Sophia.
I said Sophia. No, we have a handful of like, listen, the response has been really amazing about the podcast. I do worry that we've let our listeners down with this one,
mm-hmm.
but you can't win them all.
Mm-mm. You got to stick with us. You got to ride with us at the highs.
You
got to
ride with
lows.
Us. Exactly.
That's Are a you good, riding with us?
You know, you can't be on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't. And you got to like... Let's try to walk away from this and not feel shame about it for the rest of the day because you and I do that. We'll spiral. We'll go, oh my God, we've lost our edge.
Uh-huh.
Or we've just, this is not, you know.
We suck.
Yeah, like maybe why are we doing this?
Yeah.
You know, like that's how you and I are. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Question number one.
Oh, we're going to just start at the top?
Well, yeah, yeah. Okay. You always want to start at the top.
No, I always just go, okay.
Hi, I love the podcast so much. It makes me want to become closer with my sister. LOL. My question is, have either of you ever lived alone? I'm looking for a studio in New York City and feeling a little nervous to live alone. I've only ever lived with friends, so this will be my first time. I have a boyfriend who I love, but I don't think we're at the point to move in together. My fear is I just don't want to become a hermit who never leaves the apartment. Would love to hear any tips and advice.
Oh, I think living alone is so amazing.
Living alone is great.
It is so important to be able to experience that at some point in life.
I agree.
Having that time to yourself where you can literally do whatever you want in your own space and have to compromise zero is something that everybody should be able to experience. And not everybody does, because most people can't afford to live alone. Most people do need a roommate. So if you are in a position to just have that space to yourself for this point in life, I would say embrace it. Because
living alone is an amazing thing. And I agree. It's a rite of passage. You should do it when you're young. And mm-hmm. I remember when I was single, and I mean, I lived alone forever. I lived alone from the age of 21 or 22 to 35. And I remember before I met Simon, I thought, I don't know if I can make a relationship work because I love my routine so much alone. I love going and sitting in my kitchen nook with my coffee. I like having things the way that I like to have them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want anyone in my space changing my routine. I mean, at the time, I didn't know I had OCD and hadn't been diagnosed yet. And so I think that the joy of living alone and learning, like that time alone, you learn a lot about yourself.
Yeah.
And it's very important. So I think embrace it and lean in. I think it's exciting.
I think, I don't know what your work circumstances are, if you're working from home. I do think that it is, if you're not being held accountable, I think if you have a roommate or you have a boyfriend, you're not going to like stay in bed all day because you're like, oh God, that's like so embarrassing. I'm not going to stay in bed all day. So I think you have to create some sort of schedule.
I still stay in bed all day sometimes though.
No, but you don't stay in bed. Okay, Sunday's one thing. But I think if you live alone and you work from home, you could find yourself in a situation where you're like in a rut and you're not getting out.
Yeah.
So I think you need to, you know, great, stay in bed all Sunday. That's fine.
Getting into the weeds on this one.
No, but I'm just saying, any tips? And I'm saying, like, I think a good tip is to, it's easy to sort of disappear if you live alone and if you're not working outside the house. So I would just create some sort of system that doesn't allow you, like, no one should be home for 3 days in a row. Like, that's not mentally good for you, but it's easy to do that if you live alone.
I guess, yeah.
And I think you should like create a space where you can invite people over, like entertain. Like,
definitely.
Create a space where.
Yeah, I never did that when I lived alone.
You never did that. And it's important to do that. Find your inner hostess. You don't need to have a mansion to be a good hostess.
Very true.
Find your inner hostess. And you can create.
We live in this little.
Even if you don't have like a dining room table, create a cute thing on the floor. Get like two little beanbag thing. Like, you can create a space to have people over.
My God, Sarah, you're such a little designer. Two beanbags?
Well, I don't know. Beanbags is like, maybe that's not the thing. But there's so many cute ways to make small spaces feel warm and cozy and inviting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, pick one you like.
I'm just going to go down the list, I guess. Okay. Hi, Aaron and Sarah. I've not read this. I'm currently in my early 20s, 22, about to graduate college, and just low-key drowning in the instability. I have two questions for you. One, where do you draw your self-confidence from? I feel like you are both so effortlessly yourself. And as someone who's searching for who they are, I'm curious as to how you navigated those murky waters of uncertainty in your 20s. Let's answer that, and then I'll answer the second question. We've had to work really long.
We're a lot older than you.
We're a lot older than you.
We're a lot older than you. And also, you know, these are two different things. Self-confidence is different than effortlessly being yourself. Just because we're ourselves doesn't mean that we're confident all the time.
No, and I have to remind myself, even at my age, to like, Sarah, get back in your body. You're not being yourself. You're trying to be this person that you think this person wants to see.
But a tip I would have for trying to effortlessly be yourself is that you're going to have situations that come up all the time with on a date or with friends where someone goes, oh my God, you're so uptight. Oh my God, you're so you're so relaxed about that. Oh my God, you're so, you know, anal about this thing. You're so, there, people are going to comment on who you are all the time. And when you're young, you feel this need to be like, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm, you know, get really defensive. The answer is to be like, I know, I really am like that. Oh God, I really am so anal. I know I'm like a real type A person. Or like, yeah, I guess I do take those things too seriously. Or, oh, I am always late. I should get better at that. Just admit and acknowledge the truth of who you are, because people are going to make you feel bad about yourself unless you don't let them. People are going to comment and it's up to you to go, oh yeah, I really am like that.
Also, shame is a real theme that we talk about. It's a real theme that I talk about with Josh. Shame is debilitating and you should not feel shame around, I'm 22, who am I? I don't know. You are not supposed to know who you are fully at 22. You have to cut yourself a little bit of slack. Give yourself a break. Relieve, take the shame out of it and be excited to discover who you are. Like, mm-hmm. to your point, it's great to have a baseline to really know, like, these are the things that matter to me. Mm-hmm. These are the things I feel like super confident. These are the values that I feel super confident around. But also cut yourself slack. You are figuring out who you are. At 22, if I were to explain to you what I was like at 22. I didn't even know what my values were at 22. Mm-hmm. Like, the only thing I was confident at 22 was
that you were pretty.
I was clear on that I didn't want to party. Mm-hmm. That was like a thing I felt secure in.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be a party girl. I didn't want to get wasted. I didn't want to try drugs. I didn't want to, like, I was clear about that.
We call those people square.
Right, square. But other than that, I didn't fucking know who I was. I was trying to be something so that a guy would like me. I was trying to be a person that I thought this guy wanted to like me more. Mm-hmm. I didn't fucking know who I was. Like, you're already so ahead of the curve that you have a college degree at 22. How amazing. I wish this younger generation would stop being so hard on themselves. Mm-hmm. There's so much pressure. I think because we're seeing so many young people, like, we think that they're so stable and they're so set in their ways because a lot of younger people now appear to have these careers.
Yeah.
Because it's so much easier to have a career now with social media and with all this. But it's bullshit. Like, cut yourself some slack.
Yep. And just learn to laugh at yourself. I think that's the biggest key in being yourself. But just because we're ourselves doesn't mean that we're confident all the time.
Yeah. And don't use us as an example. We're literally double your age.
Well, okay. You can use us as an example because we're aspirational for her. She's just a little baby 22-year-old.
Right.
Okay, the second part of the question is,
how do you find your voice? Absolutely obsessed with the podcast. Thank you. And wish I could afford favorite daughter, but trying to manifest it. Love you both.
No, wait, you skipped over. I thought there was a second question in there, though. How did you find your voice?
Listen, I didn't find my voice till way later in life.
We know that I have an amazing voice. And
I don't think she means,
I discovered it at a pretty young age.
I don't
actually
think she means your singing voice.
I discovered it in fifth grade when I won the talent show.
Aaron and I both did not find our voice until much later in life.
No, but I found mine earlier than you found yours.
At 30?
No, I found mine in my 20s when I started writing.
Yeah. Well, how'd you find it then? Tell her. She's asking, how'd you find your voice?
The way I found my voice was leaning into the truth of who I was. Yeah. And I remember there was a moment standing in this guy, James Kreisel's apartment.
Oh.
Remember James Kreisel?
Sure do.
And I was saying something. I don't know what I was saying. Like, oh, I have a date tomorrow. Like, he'll probably like never call me again. But I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he'll have a crush on me. And I don't know what I was saying. And he looked at me. He goes, wow, you really are totally confident and completely insecure. And I was like,
oh.
Okay, that's going to be the name of my blog that I start.
Totally confident and completely insecure. And When you came out with that, everyone was like, yes, that is so relatable. That is the oxymoron that explains exactly who I am.
Exactly. So I started my blog. This is 15 years ago. The blogs were relevant. Well, 15 years ago. And blogs were relevant. And I started that blog. And that's when I started really leaning into my voice, which was the truth of who I was, which was being really confident and also being really insecure at the exact same time. And so I think finding your voice is leaning into the truth of who you are, however you can do that.
And we are all so beautifully different. And I think we focus so much on fitting to, are you having like a crazy itch over there?
Just a little scratching on my foot. Wait, but I want to finish one thought before I know you're talking, is that the key for me, and I think is for a lot of people, was instead of me trying to be something that I wasn't, I owned that I was insecure and self-conscious. And that became the thing that connected me to other women and got me my jobs as a writer. That became the voice in my writing that created the success that I had for writing.
I think too, we get so swept up in, what does that person want me to be? What do I have to be to get that job? What do I have to be to get that guy to like me? But the truth is, there is something for everyone. Like truly, there is a guy for who you are authentically. There is a job for who you are authentically. There is a friend for who you are authentically.
That doesn't mean don't work on yourself though.
No, it doesn't mean don't work on yourself, but it just
doesn't mean like I'm a bitch and that's just who I am.
Listen, you can't fully be fulfilled until you tap into who you really are. Because if you are living your life trying to be someone else, there is just no fulfillment there.
It's true.
Because you're going to always be on your toes and you're never going to be settled because you're trying to be someone you're not. And until you can really tap into and accept yourself for who you really are, because look, we work on ourselves, but we're not changing that much. Mm-hmm. We're perfecting who we are. Like, that's just how it is. Like, we are who we are. And you have to just find ways to accept it.
Yeah.
Like you know, you've accepted.
What about me?
I don't know.
What did I accept? Okay.
No, we're just like.
All my flaws?
No, but like you and I are very flawed people. We are flawed people and we're working on ourselves and we're fine tuning being the best versions of ourselves.
Isn't everyone really flawed?
Yeah, I'm just speaking to us.
Oh.
But we're very, I mean, we have a lot of.
We're extra flawed.
We got a lot of shit.
Yeah, we do.
We've got a lot of personality flaws.
Personality.
What am I trying to say?
Deficiencies?
Disorder?
Disorders?
I don't know. I think you and I have like major personality.
I'd be curious if you.
Disorder.
If you got what your diagnosis would be.
With a psychiatrist?
Yeah.
What do you think it would be? Well, we know not narcissism.
No, I mean, I do think you, would have narcissism.
No. That's crazy. That's so unkind. We listen
you sound
to.
Like the V talking about TikTok.
No, but I'm not a fucking narcissist. Are you kidding? I have like deep empathy for people.
For people you don't know. For people that are related to you.
I'm a very empathetic person.
No, I don't consider you a very empathetic person.
Oh, okay. Well, I disagree. And I think a lot of other people would disagree.
Okay, so you're
not a
narcissist.
I like when things happen to people, like it deeply affects me and I like can't move on.
But that's strangers. You don't really care about like people you're
okay. What do you think a psychiatrist would say to me?
I think, well, I shouldn't diagnose you. Let them diagnose you.
Okay, thank you.
I think they'd say you're a really good person.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
no, Sarah. I thought you always said when people sing in ads, it really bothers you.
Oh, when people sing, it kills me.
And you just did it.
I didn't think we were recording. You know, I'll tell you why I did. Because Noom sounds very like, it sounds very like, like that.
It's true. Well, that's probably why they chose the name. And right. Noom is very relaxing to think about because it means that you are taking control of your health and your wellness and you are not going to let food control you, but you are going to control your own cravings. So Noom is all about a psychology-based approach to help you better understand your relationship with food. And it teaches you how to be more mindful about the way that you eat. And it's not about dieting. It's about having skills and knowledge that you need to build like long-lasting positive habits. Food is a very emotional thing for us. And so a lot of times our eating is very tied to our emotions and like the ups and downs. But you know, part of being healthy is really having healthy food habits and not eating emotionally.
It is so overwhelming to task yourself with getting healthy. It's like, where do you begin? What gym do I sign up for? What diet do I go on to? It's like too overwhelming and Noom makes it really easy.
Yeah. They really guide you and you don't have to spend a lot of time on the app a day. It's very minimal on your part and it works with a, you know, hectic lifestyle. It makes it very flexible. It's really easy to log your food and to see your progress. And it just teaches you a lot about your cravings and understanding your relationship with food better. And so
I like it. It's a psychological approach to this whole lifestyle.
Exactly. So with Noom, taking care of your health is empowering instead of stress-inducing, and I think that we all need that. So start building better habits.
Can I get an amen?
So start building your better habits today. You just covered that up. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/foster. That is Noom.com/foster to sign up for your trial.
Boyfriend is leaving for 6 months to hike the Pacific Crest Trail. He will start in southern Mexico and hike all the way to the border of Canada. Oh my God. I'm not going on this adventure because unfortunately I did not meet him in time. He's the love of my life, so I plan to support him through it. Any advice for 6 months of long distance?
Whoa.
Have you guys ever done long distance? Okay. I think that you have to get out of your head that it's not possible, number one, because it is. Because when two people have found each other and if two people equally feel the connection, you can sustain it. It is totally possible. The whole like, oh, long distance just killed us, I think is bullshit. I think it's a cop-out for not wanting to actually admit what the real issues were. You can absolutely withstand 6 months. I am someone, Tommy and I had a long distance relationship for the first 10 years of our relationship. We started our relationship out fully long distance, both of us traveling, him traveling like crazy. And we honestly fell in love over email. There are so many ways to stay connected now. I mean, like, hello, you have FaceTime. We didn't even have FaceTime. You 100% can do this. And I think the 6 months will go by a lot faster than you think. 6 months goes by really fast.
Yeah, but it is a long time.
No, it is a long time, but it doesn't matter. If two people both equally feel like you are my person, you can strengthen your relationship more than you realize over text, email, FaceTime.
People do it when someone goes to war.
Sending photos, all the things. You can enrich the relationship in a really beautiful, meaningful way.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So higher, I don't know. Wait, are we done?
Yeah, we're moving on.
Well, do we have any tips? No? Did I give any tips?
I think you gave them. Hi, Aaron and Sarah. Love the podcast and your amazing advice. I am a junior at George. All these girls are so young.
Yeah, well, they're gone now after your bifocal.
I'm a junior at Georgetown and have the best friends and the best life here. I can't help but give into the pressure of sometimes feeling like I need a relationship or male attention, especially when we go out on the weekends. I really don't want to date anyone just to date anyone. And I find myself comparing myself to how my friends act and respect with respect to guys. How did you guys deal with being in your 20s and learning to love yourself and not base your self-worth on male attention? We didn't.
Yeah, we didn't. I still go out, by the way, and I'll come home and I'll be like, oh God, like no guy even looked at me today. I'm such a loser. Cut yourself some slack.
But also, yes, cut yourself slack. That's very normal to do that. But we also both are sitting here, you know, in a different phase of our lives, looking back to when we were your age, wishing we hadn't spent our 20s that way. So if there is a way for you to try to snap out of it and refocus your attention on other things, it is kind of a huge waste of your time.
Male attention is just, it's like a little Band-Aid. It's like a little like exhilarating serotonin boost. Like, oh my God, that guy hit on me. That guy looked
at me.
It's
like getting a like on Instagram.
It's not real. Like, it really isn't real. The goal in life is to find somebody who loves you for all of you, not because, like, you looked hot in a dress out at a dinner.
And I think I would recommend—
But also don't cut yourself slack for, it feeling good. Like, it's also okay to be like, that felt good tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But your night shouldn't be ruined if you didn't get attention.
I think also a good way to
attention.
Help yourself is to fill your life with a lot of other things that keep your mind busy.
And fulfilled
so that you don't focus so much on the attention that you aren't getting or that you are getting.
Yeah, I think it's so important as a young person to start figuring out how to fulfill yourself. Because look, the reality is, as you get older, that it changes. Like, you're not going to walk into a room and have that kind of attention for the rest of your life. So I think you have to, the earlier you can figure out what fulfills you, what fills your bucket, what makes you happy, the better. And it's possible. It's really possible.
Every single thing I did in my 20s was about getting attention from guys. Everything was about—
Because you didn't know who you were.
Yeah. And I always valued myself my value is based on the attention I was or wasn't getting. Like,
which is
saying.
Actual bullshit.
It's terrible.
It's actual bullshit.
And
it's
I stopped myself from doing so many things because I stopped and would think like, would a guy think that this was cool if I was doing it? Would somebody think this is interesting? And I'm so ashamed of having spent so much time that way. So try to fill your life with as many things that you care about instead of things that you think would look appealing to a guy.
And by the way, the greatest thing to do is to walk into a room and then leave that room having a meaningful conversation about a book you read or an interesting podcast you listened to. Like, if you can show up at a dinner or like a party. If you can show up at a dinner or a party bringing more to the conversation than just like your hot dress or your hot boobs or your good hair or your good makeup. Like,
Hot boobs is a funny term.
Hot boobs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what do you mean?
It's just weird to say hot boobs.
Oh, well, what should I have said? Hot breast?
Just keep going on.
Okay. That feeling is so much more validating. Like, when I leave an event or a party and I've had a super meaningful conversation with somebody, I carry that with me so much more than someone being like, oh, I love your outfit, or oh, you look good, or it's just...
I do love to get told that the people love my outfit, though.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I still do. But by girls.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, we're just... All these things are just normal. I just want to stress to you, the young people, these are all just such normal. There's just too much pressure on young people to feel like they just have it all figured out.
I agree.
I didn't feel that pressure.
I did.
No, I didn't.
No, just saying I didn't.
It's just different.
I know. I'm saying I did.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Sarah, I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
We just got a 10-minute warning, and so I think that we should. That was about six minutes ago.
Okay,
so
I missed
That means we have 4 minutes left.
Okay.
So I want to answer one more question. How do you feel about that? It's this one right here at the bottom.
Oh, you've already picked it.
Well, it seems like someone who needs our advice.
Okay. How about you get to answer that? How about you pick that one, and then I get to pick one.
So two more. Sarah,
it's only fair. Allison.
Allison's okay. Nodding because she's nodding. She's scared of you.
Scared of me, Allison?
Mm. Okay. Go. She's lying to you because she's scared of you.
Okay, I'll do a short one. Also, I think we should do a rapid every solo episode. We should do a rapid fire.
Yeah.
You guys should ask us personal questions about us and like rapid fire.
Oh, I like that.
You know, because so many people write me like asking so many questions and I don't respond on DM. It's like, I just don't respond
to it. It's a nice way to end it because then it's about us again.
So let's end every solo episode with a rapid fire about us.
Ourselves.
Because people love these AMAs. You know, yeah, I did an AMA.
I kind of cringed when you did it though.
Oh, people loved it. Mm. You cringed?
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
People loved it.
People really liked mine with Otto.
But you know what? You're just a hater. You're a hater.
And everybody has them.
And you're not my audience.
You're
not my audience because my audience loved my AMA, requested more AMAs.
You know what, Sarah?
Reposted my AMAs.
Be yourself.
And I am going to see now the old me would have been like, oh my God, Aaron said I'm cringe, which must mean other people are saying I'm cringe, which means she must have had conversations with our friend group about my cringe AMA. And then I wouldn't do it again. But guess what? I'm going to do one tonight in spite of this conversation because that is authentic to me and I enjoyed it.
Be you, Sarah.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a conversation with our friends.
Guess what? I don't care.
Oh.
I don't even care.
Whoa. Very impressed with your self-confidence.
Look for my AMA tonight.
Ask me anything. Okay. But I think you're coming to dinner with us tonight, right?
Oh, I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
I'm so tired.
You haven't confirmed.
Also, are you watching Bridgerton season 2?
I started it, but...
No. At first, I was like, how can this show go on without Simon? Like, the character Simon. With Jean, whatever his name is. There's just no way. They should just cancel the show. There won't be able to be a show. Let me tell you something. There is. It is so good. The brother who didn't even notice him in season 1... I'm like, how is this guy going to carry the show? Well, he does.
Wow.
He is so good.
So you think
good.
I should tune back in? I watched one episode of the second season. I was like,
You should tune back in. I also need to finish The Dropout, which is fantastic.
Oh, I started it last night. So good.
So good. Finished The Great. And now I need
Liz
to start.
Liz Merriweather created that show.
I do. And former coworker, Liz Merriweather. And
true.
Then I need to start The WeWork Show. Which is Lee's show.
Oh my God, Sarah, the WeWork show is so good.
Who knew that it was, we have so many talented friends. Like we're the least talented of all of our friends. Lee, I mean, he just churns out hit after hit. Okay, did we answer the question or no?
Yes, we did.
No, you didn't.
Oh, the last one.
Yeah, are you, you're not with us. We might need to simmer on the medication.
No.
This is, what kind of dose are you on? It's like a horse tranquilizer. I mean, you are really out of it.
I'm on a very low dose.
We can't have both of us out of it like this. This is not going to work.
I know, but then what if we never fight again?
Because I'm out of, but like.
Not worth it?
We're way too on the same page in this episode.
Right.
Like, there's just no fire anymore.
Right, the fire has gone.
The fire has gone. The passion is dead. Just dead.
Wow.
God. Answer the question.
Okay. Hi, Aaron and Sarah. Is that better energy for you? And Allison, possibly.
You already read the question. Answer it.
No, I never answered this question, Sarah. My question is, I'm 36 and going through a divorce.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Gosh, have some compassion.
Okay, I like it. You just snapped at me. Now we're back. We're back in business.
Oh, okay, great.
We're back in business.
Great. I'm going to up my dosage. Oh, God. Context. Okay, I'm 36, going through a divorce. Context, we were together for 15 years, married for 7. We have a 2-year-old. Never imagined experiencing this, and it's an unusual time as most of my friends are in a very different stage, growing their families, which is what I wish I was doing. I want to find a fulfilling relationship, but finding it is so scary to start over again. Any sage advice for starting fresh? It's a whole other scene since the last time I dated when I was 21, and it feels nerve-wracking and intimidating to put myself out there again.
Okay, well, all my friends who are on their second marriage—
Yeah, you're old. You answer this.
All my friends who are on their second marriage are like, oh, this is what it's all about. I made all the mistakes with the first person. Mm-hmm. I had to grow up with the first person. It was like a dress rehearsal with the first person. And this is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. All my friends who are on their second marriages, who all felt like, I'm never going to find love again. Who's going to want me? I'm in my 30s, my late 30s, my early 40s. Who's blah, blah, blah. They are all like, literally all of them are like, oh, I never knew happiness could be like this.
Yeah.
So I just want to say to you, you are 36, you have your 2-year-old, you're gonna be okay.
I really believe in second phases.
I believe in, there are, some people are just born to have chapters, different chapters.
And I think everyone's born to have chapters.
Yeah, I think your first chapter, you have this beautiful 2-year-old, that's fantastic. Like, that person was supposed to be the father of your 2-year-old. But I think you have to like reframe your thoughts. And how exciting to be heading into phase 2. How exciting.
Who are we talking about that was saying to stop looking at things as failures and
new beginnings?
That they're more like experiences? Because a relationship that ends is not a failure.
No.
It's a lesson. It's a phase of your life.
And it's an opportunity for a new beginning.
Exactly. And they always help inform your next relationship.
Absolutely. I think this is actually an exciting time. You're young, by the way. You're 36. You can still have more children.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, then that's fine too, because you have your 2-year-old, but you still can. Like 36, you still have. I would tell you though, at 36, I would go check your eggs. I would go see what you're working with there, because if you are going to meet someone else, and
We don't even know if she wants more kids.
No, but I'm just saying, like I would check your eggs. I would go see what you, maybe you want to freeze a couple for the next man you're going to meet. Like,
smart.
Go see what you have, because maybe you meet a guy who is the love of your life and he wants more kids. Mm-hmm. So I would go look into seeing.
But look at this as an exciting time, and give yourself some time alone as well. You don't need to jump into another relationship. Give yourself time to figure out what it feels like to be alone. You haven't been alone since you were 21 years old, and that means you were probably living up with your parents right up until then. Give yourself time to be alone and figure out what the next steps are.
Also, we get comfortable in routine. We get so comfortable in what we know, and I think probably you're feeling your fear is also like, the unknown is scary. Like, it's just, we don't know what's on the other side of that door.
Yep.
So that is a scary feeling when you feel so safe, even if it's like misery, but you feel so safe in what you know. And I think embrace feeling scared. Embrace what's on the other side of that door.
Yeah, I agree.
So good for you. Check back in with us and tell us how it's going. And by the way, when you're ready, get on the dating apps. Call Amy Nobile. Put yourself out there. We have a whole episode on how to date with your second husband.
Sarah, why are you flipping the page? This is it. This is it. That was it.
Well, I thought I had got to have a question too.
I know, but then we went on a whole different tangent about something.
But that's
else.
Not fair. We made a rule. You could get a question and
I know,
I could
but
get a
you
question.
Went on the tangent with me. And that's it. I think you have to close that page back down. Yeah, you got to turn that page again. Turn it over.
Let me just answer this one.
Sarah.
It's a short one, and you should take this one.
Sarah, Allison, but have some authority here.
Okay, here's what we'll do. I'm going to ask the question, and if you feel like you can give a quick answer, then you do it. And if you don't, then we move on.
But I would never leave a listener dangling like that.
We'll edit it.
If you give
me
that.
We'll edit it. So then they would never even know it was there. Hi, I'm obsessed with the podcast. This is crazy. I'm obsessed with the podcast and I listen every week. Here's my question for you. I'm in my mid-30s and have been on a string of bad first dates. I'm losing motivation to keep trying. What tips do you have to keep powering through? This is you written all over it.
That's a big question, Sarah.
A string of bad first dates. Take this one.
That's a bad... I mean, you... This is so fucked up.
Okay, so you want to leave this poor girl hanging when you have such advice that could change her life? Tap into your inner Tony Robbins. Okay. You've got...
Okay. I only tap into my
right
single
now, mid-30s. That was you. Bad dates. That was you. I mean, you literally... It was over for you. You were so sad. Your life was over. All you had was work.
I was actually really happy.
And your nieces. Oh, God.
I was really happy. Because you can be happy and be single in your mid-30s. Sorry.
All right. So should she just stop even though all these dates are bad?
No. No. Okay. Here's what I would say.
Inspire her.
Fucked up that you brought me into
right
this.
Right now. Go.
Here's what I would say is that anyone who says that like just go on every date, I think they're wrong. Okay. Bad dates can be very discouraging. When you're sitting in front of somebody that you think you should like, who's good on paper, and you find them repulsive, it makes you feel bad when you go home at night. When you sit in front of someone that you literally would want to like kill yourself if you had to end up with this person, that does not propel you forward. So going on bad dates is a part of the process, but it's also okay to take a break and take a step back and say, I don't want to go on a date for another month. Mm. I had a rule.
Right. I need to be so inspired.
I need to be
go
excited
on the next
to go out with someone.
Yeah.
I had a rule that I would never, and I implemented it in my 30s because I made this mistake many times in my 20s, that I would not go on a second date with someone unless I was really excited to see them. If I went on a first date and I was like, I don't think I'm feeling it, and then he asked me out again and I would be scared to say no, so I would say yes, I would always be disappointed when I would have to go on that date and I'd be like, why am I doing this?
So you
why
think if the first date's bad, then it's not a match?
That's just what I did.
Right, but like
nobody
some
ever
people
recovered.
Would disagree with you.
Some people would. You right. have to do what feels right for you. I'm
for
just saying,
you feel like there's the no anxiety, coming back from a bad first date.
The anxiety that I would feel going on a second date with someone I didn't want to see and having to spend that evening with that person, I just hated that feeling. So I stopped doing it unless I was excited.
But you kind of maybe need to break the cycle. So if you're having a string of bad first dates,
take a break. You do not need to go on every date that you have the opportunity to go out on.
Reframe like
the right person will wait for you or they will come back around, but take a little break from bad dates because
and maybe
really
work on your energy because maybe you're attracting this kind of energy.
Because like, it really can be very discouraging going on bad dates.
Also, check out our manifestation episode because you can really
stop promoting the episode I'm not on.
You could really manifest like the guy of your dreams.
I wouldn't know. I haven't listened to
it. You wouldn't know because you haven't listened to it.
Wouldn't know. Never. Never will.
All right. Well, I'm glad we took that question.
Oh my God. Me too.
All right. Okay. Well, I would love to end this on a rapid fire, but we don't have any questions.
Anything else you want to do?
I'm just saying it would be great to now mandate that every solo episode will end with a rapid fire. And that way we don't have to fight about how we're going to end it because we just know how
it's
ending.
You're going to be like five more questions till the rapid fire.
No, let's mandate what it's going to be.
What do you mean what it's going to be?
10 rapid fire questions. That's what we end on. 5 for you, 5 for me.
Okay.
Or no, just 10, I answer it
and
you answer
it. I know, I was
saying
you're going to do a lot of questions before that though.
No, Erin, I'm not.
Okay.
Okay, so listen, this was a terrible episode. I'm ashamed. I'm going to have to talk about my shame with Josh today.
I think you should talk about your freak out on the mountain instead of this shame.
Oh, okay. Well, way to end it with on that note, Erin. Leave it to you to really just... Okay, well, we promise to show up better for you next time, but please stay with us.
We're going to get messages from people saying that they actually really love this episode.
I don't know.
I think we are.
We really love you guys. We really appreciate you guys staying with us, and we will...
Your toenails are so long. Okay, bye, guys.
Allison, cut that out.
Keep it in, Allison. Your toenails are crazy long.
Allison, Sarah, I'll Venmo you $100. Edit that out.
Sarah, you got to... I have clippers here. Can we clip these things? They're like claws.
Bye, guys.
This is crazy. Okay, bye.
If you like this podcast, leave a rating and review.
This podcast is executive produced by...
Can you not use that voice?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to sound...
Yeah, but you don't need to make it sexy.
This podcast is executive produced by...
Do you have a normal voice?
Yeah. Erin Foster... Sarah Foster, and Allison Bresnick.
Okay, I'll take over. Our associate producer is Montana McBierney. Our audio engineer is Josh Windisch. This show is hosted by Simplecast.
See, that didn't sound nice.
That sounded great.